Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Stronghold Baptist Church. You can grab your hymnals and open up to Psalm number 259. Psalm 259, Jesus saves. Psalm 259.
Church, our next song is going to be Psalm 220. Again, that is Psalm 220. Jesus is all the world to me. Psalm 220.
Thank you. Amen. All right, great singing. Welcome to Stronghold Baptist Church this Sunday morning. At this time, we're going to go through our announcements. If you don't have a bulletin, just slip your hand up real high, and one of our ushers will bring one out to you. And if you open up to the first page, you'll see our service times listed there. Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening again at 5 o'clock. Wednesday night at 7 is our Bible study. Brand new book of the Bible we're starting this week. So Galatians is the book. So try to make it out here for a Wednesday Bible study if you can. For the next 6 weeks, six chapters, the book of Galatians will go through each chapter verse by verse, one chapter a week. So come on out to the Bible study if you can make it here for that. Great book of the Bible. Soul winning opportunities are listed there, as well as the salvations and the baptisms for the month of April, as well as for the year. So let's count up if you have salvations to report for the week. Was the Saturday group three? Was that what it was, the total? All right, amen. Three for yesterday, one yesterday as well, amen. Yes, one on Friday. And one on yesterday, amen. On Saturday? Yeah. Amen. That's great. Cool. Anyone else that I'm missing? All right. Very good. Keep up the good work. Of course, we've got soul winning time this afternoon. Our soul winning times are rain or shine, so come on out for that. The good thing about when, you know, when it rains now and it's nice outside, it's still nice outside. You just get a little wet, right? So bring an umbrella and go out and we'll knock those doors. So anyhow, appreciate everyone that's put in all the hard work and going out and preaching the gospel. That is what it's all about. Down there at the bottom of the page, we have the offering totals received through the month of April. Prayer requests. So we've added a couple of prayer requests here. We've removed some and added some. Sierra Sterling. So Tommy Sterling. Who here knows Tommy? Is there a lot of people that know Tommy? I know a few of you do. And some of you probably know him more. Not necessarily by name. He lives in Columbia, South Carolina, and he was at our soul winning event that we had out there. And there's a family that's really excited about the church plant starting up. So I've been in contact with him other times and stuff. But his wife is with child. His wife is pregnant. So we added her to the list. And then he also is recovering from ear surgery. So we added him down there at the bottom as well. And then let's see, who else have we added? I think all the additions are down at the bottom. So we have Mrs. Mosseller's sister, Amy, who has that staph infection and sepsis. And I think she's doing a little bit better, right, Brother Lindsay? She's caring for and cleaning the wound. It's just got to be, like, really clean and yeah. Yeah, so, but she's not in the hospital and she's at home and just needs to be cared for, so. We'll continue to pray for her. Obviously, sepsis is extremely important. You know, you don't want, infection just getting everywhere. So we'll continue to pray for Amy. And then I finally added Kate. Kate's been in the prayer list from the WhatsApp group, but I added her on the list here. She has that aggressive cancer. She was pregnant, but the baby was born. Thankfully, okay, the baby's fine. And she's continued to receive treatments. I think she had some surgery and now is continuing to get other treatments for the cancer. So I'll continue to pray for her. And then, let's see, I don't think I have any other updates. Does anyone else have an update to people who are on the prayer list as it stands right now? Any updates? All right, very good. We'll continue. Yes, sir. Oh, yes, thank you. Thank you for pointing that out. That is, Brother Stephen Adams added Ruth, and her husband passed away, so he was the one that had the brain cancer, and she has a breast cancer. So she, I think, is doing better with her treatment, but unfortunately, her husband passed away. So, but Stephen says they both have a good testimony of salvation, which obviously eases the pain a little bit and provides that comfort. So, but yeah, thanks for pointing that out. That was the other update to the list here. So. And then down at the bottom of the page, we've added Verity Baptist Church at in Sacramento, California, and Pastor Jimenez there. So pray for their ministry, pray for Pastor and his family, and all the work that's being done out there. And then I didn't add her to the list just yet, but unfortunately, Pastor Thompson is not able to make it to our camp this year. And I knew from the beginning this was a possibility. He told me right up front. But his wife, Sherry, is having surgery, knee surgery, that week. So the week of the camp, she's having surgery. So we'll add her to the prayer list right before the camp and pray for her health and everything there. So just to let you know, that's what the latest news on that. On the next page, so April, month of April, our challenge is to be focused on baptism. Just encourage people, if you haven't been saved, if you've been saved and you haven't been biblically baptized, right? Getting sprinkled as a kid or whatever doesn't count. A christening or whatever you want to call it, or, you know, some priest putting some drops of water in your head, that's not baptism. So baptism, getting dunked under that water, being brought back up, and it's valid after you've been saved. If you've had that baptism, full immersion, but you weren't saved yet, I encourage you to get baptized again. So it's a one-time thing. Ultimately, that it only has to be a one-time thing. If it's done right, you never have to worry about it again. But, you know, we're focused on this. It's important, getting baptized the right way, and encourage people. You go out soul winning, win someone to Christ, encourage them to get baptized as well. Invite them to church, and we could always get the baptism set up at pretty much any time, as long as there's someone here, as long as I'm here, we can do that with no notice, really. We always have the stuff on hand to do that, so just keep that in mind. New church plant in Greenville. So we're finally making a little bit of progress, I think. I had contacted our contact, and I changed our offer since I just hadn't heard anything back, and I just upped it a little bit, and now we've got some communication that's coming back tomorrow. So we'll see a little bit more. Our rep is going to speak to the property owner or whoever is in charge of it, property manager, tomorrow. So we'll see where that goes from there. So just continue to pray about that, but if finally something seems to be happening. And so we're really looking forward to that. I know everyone's excited about that. There's a ton of people waiting for that church to open up, and it's going to be great. I think we're going to hit the ground running there and really do a lot of good work for the Lord. Bible memory passage. So what was the final total of people who memorized the first 20 verses of Hebrews 11, and you got it quoted and you got it done, completed 1, 2, I think there was 3 last time I counted. So has that changed? I think Mrs. Logan had it as well. So 1, 2, 3. All right, I'm going to go with 3 as the final count for that. And this week we're starting the latter half of this chapter, another 20 verses. So our pace is 2 verses a week. So 10 weeks, 20 verses. You get these verses memorized and quoted out loud to someone else to earn a prize for being able to do that. Down there, we've got the upcoming birthdays and anniversaries through the end of April, as well as the beginning of May, and then the upcoming events. This Saturday coming up here, we've got the men's preaching class and song leading class, and I encourage all men, if you're interested at all, you don't have to participate. You just come and listen and learn and hear what's being taught, and you can hear other people get a chance to preach. It's a great opportunity. So if you have the availability, and man, good night. It's 9:30, right? 9:30. Yes. I'm sorry for not printing that in the bulletin. 9:30 a.m. So if you're planning on coming, it's 9:30. Obviously, I'm not running it, because if I was, it would be 10:30. It's 9:30. So keep that in mind if you're coming to the preaching class. And I think, do you see the instructions over there, Brother Matt, next to that? Are those still there? Okay, so if you didn't get those yet and you're a man and you wanted to preach, you're going to attend this on Saturday, there was a special assignment for this coming up preaching class, and we want you to follow that assignment to the best of your ability. If you plan on preaching. So make sure you get one of those handouts before you leave. And then, of course, our church camp is the biggest thing. And we've been handing out, we have some papers and instructions. I asked Brother Lindsay to help me out with this. Some of you probably have already received it. There are instructions, if you got cottages or even a campsite, on what to do. So with the payment and everything else for the cottages, you've got your assigned number. Now, and this is set, by the way, this is all set, so we're not changing anything. You got what you got. It was a lot of work to try to fit cares and concerns and needs and everything else, and all kinds of considerations go into that. So instructions for how to deal with it all, check in, check out, all that stuff is on that piece of paper. So if you didn't receive one, we probably still have it. So you can seek me out, and I will get the information to you. And especially if you signed up and you registered and you're like, Pastor Berzin, I didn't get anything. I don't have any paperwork. You didn't get it. Just let me know, and I will figure out what's going on and get you the information that you need. So, and then I don't have the calendar printed yet, but for those of you wanting to plan activities, like group activities where you're going to think of maybe having other people involved, it's the same as last year with one exception. So we're going to do preaching on Tuesday night, on Thursday night, and on Friday night. But Wednesday, we're going to do something a little different this year, and we're going to have a morning service. And I don't have the exact time, but it's going to be around 10 or 10:30 in the morning, okay, somewhere around there. It might be 10 o'clock. And the thinking is a lot of people like to hang out and do campfire stuff and s'mores and everything else, but with the preaching being in the evening, sometimes the smaller kids just have to go straight to bed after the service. So this is going to open up an evening to have fellowship and be able to kind of hang out without worrying about, oh, we got to break camp, we got to go over to the preaching and then come back and all that stuff. So this is just going to kind of allow for a free evening where everyone can just kind of hang out and do the thing. So if you're planning on doing activities, just plan around that one change of the preaching. But other than that, if you had something in mind and you wanted to offer and do an activity, that's the only thing that's different from last year. I'll get the calendar out as soon as I can. I'll try to get it out this afternoon. I don't know if I'm going to succeed in that, just so people can start signing up with the things that you wanted to run and hold. So that's the camping trip update, and that's about it for our announcements. We had a beautiful wedding yesterday, Andrew and Brittany, and wish them a congratulations if you weren't here yesterday for the wedding, but everything went really well, and it was a really good time. So we're happy to have the couple here with us, married couple now, and so with that, I'm going to turn the service back over to Brother Peter, and he's going to lead us in our next song.
Oh, and I think there was a little bit of food left over as well, right? So first come, first serve on the food left over from yesterday. So if you didn't bring food, you don't want to go out and buy some food or something, there's some stuff available in the refrigerator here after service if you want to have some of that. All right, thank you.
All right, church, if you can open up your hymnals to Psalm number 218. Psalm 218, hallelujah, 'tis done. Psalm 218. All right, church, you sing this out on the first. 'Tis the promise of God. please open your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 6. Again, that's the book of Matthew, chapter 6. And as we do customary here at Stronghold Baptist Church, we're going to read the entire chapter for the Michael Ricardo.
Amen, church. Once again, that's the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, the Bible reads, "Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. For thine alms, that thy alms might be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have the reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter to thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of, before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have the reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head, and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the book of Matthew. We thank you for the whole King James Bible. We thank you for the souls that have been saved this week and all the future souls that will be saved. And God, we thank you for the marriage that we've had in this church. And thank you for all those who are partaking in being in families and raising godly children and having godly families, God. We just thank you for a church that believes in that. And God, we thank you for Pastor Burzins. Allow for him to preach with boldness and fill him with your spirit, that we can take heed to your word and take notes and allow for our ears to be attentive to the words you have for us today. We praise you. We thank you for all that you do. We say this in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, Matthew chapter 6. So much in this chapter that I love. Matthew 6, though, goes and speaks a lot to the heart of where we should be at. You know, it talks a lot about, seek ye first the kingdom of God there at the very end, and his righteousness and all these things shall be added unto you, and the focus that we should have in the Christian life. And I'm not going to be focusing on the end, but at the beginning of this chapter, it talks about people, you know, mostly this is referring to, you know, Pharisees and stuff like that, like these hypocrites. But we can make these applications as well with believers and everything else. And the title of my sermon this morning is Doing Right for the Wrong Reasons. Doing Right for the Wrong Reasons. And this is just a heart problem, right? This is something that people can have. And one of the reasons why I preach is because, you know, our church continues to grow. And I fully believe and I see our church being like a real powerhouse here in the South of people, men getting trained, churches getting started, souls being saved, people being discipled, baptism, you know, all of it. I think I could see that happening over the next coming decades of this church's existence. I don't see the short term as much as the long term, right? And I'm sharing this with you because I want to make sure that we're all clear on the vision and kind of what to expect and things like that as well. And as the church continues to grow, there's various growing pains and there's different issues that might come up as the church gets bigger and bigger and starts to do more things. And there's been a lot of great successes even recently. Soul winning has kind of exploded as far as the amount of participation and even souls getting saved and stuff. And like things are going really, really well. We're planning a new church plant. So we're going to be reproducing and bringing forth a whole nother church. So it's really exciting, right? This is a real exciting times for our church. And as we have great successes, we want to make sure our hearts remain humble and we stay focused on what's really important. Because as you start to get more focus or more attention and start to do greater things, the possibility is there, the temptation could be there to start to get lifted up in pride and then maybe glorying a little too much in achievements. And look, I want to make sure I'm clear, because it's a proper balance that needs to be maintained. I'm absolutely not in any way, shape, or form trying to throw a wet blanket on any good works that's being done, right? Because it's exciting, and we want people to be zealous and to be able to be encouraged by one another and hear the good reports and just go, hey, amen. We love to see people get saved. We want to see a great work go forward. And I think it's awesome that we have people in our church that on their own time are going out and doing their own soul winning. You know, after work, as, oh, hey, you live close to me, and they're taking the time when it's going to work for them to go off and do these, just take the time to preach the gospel, right? And there's nothing wrong with that, and I think it's great, and I want it to continue to happen. I hope more people will do that in their own time and just carve out time for them to go soul winning. I just want to make sure, though, that we could maintain the right spirit and the right heart as well. And part of that's going to be what we see here in Matthew chapter 6. And you know, again, there's a balance. And before I even get into Matthew chapter 6, I'll just give you a good illustration. we in our bulletin, and sometimes, you know, people get criticism for this. We might get criticism. I don't know. I don't care what people say outside the church or whatever. It doesn't really matter to me. But we mark and, you know, we count up the salvation. We count up the souls saved, right? We keep track of that. And the reason being is because, one, we think it's important. It's good to see that work is being done and kind of keep track of the work that's being done. Two, it's an encouragement, right? The more people see, like, and again, as the church grows and more people see, wow, this is what this church is like. All these people are going out soul winning. Maybe I'll give it a try. It literally does have an impact on when you're in the minority. If the majority of people are going out and preaching the gospel and there's a minority of people that aren't doing it, they're going to feel more inclined to want to be part of the group and be like, hey, maybe I'll try this out, right? So putting the emphasis and putting this focus on here is a good thing, and I think it's very encouraging. But at the same time, we don't want to have like a kind of a beat in our chest of how great we are over the numbers either. You see what I'm saying? There's a good balance to strike and not to get just super lifted up and we're just so awesome. And, you know, that's the balance we want to be able to strike here. So, you know, some people will say, oh, you're putting this out there and you're glory. You're like, no, it's not about that. But you can see how it might easily be able to turn into something like that. And this is what we want to keep ourselves in check about and have our spirit and our heart right. Because at the end of the day, that's how we need to serve the Lord. And that's how we're going to continue to be blessed. And I think that spirit has been prevalent in this church, which is why we've had the successes we've had to this point, is because people are in it for the right reasons. But we have to just maintain the soundness and the soundness from Scripture and take heed to what the Bible's teaching us to make sure that we can continue moving forward in that same trajectory. Look at verse number 1 here in Matthew chapter 6. The Bible says, take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. So alms here, and just a real quick thing, I'm not going to prove all of this from Scripture, but if you understand, I've taught on this in the past. Alms is not the same as a tithe, first of all. Alms is what's given just like, consider it like a free will offering. It's something that just out of your heart, someone's in need, you see this person has a need or that person has a need, and you just, you give them some alms. You give them a little help, right? And what the Bible's teaching is, hey, if you see someone that's in need and you see someone that needs help and you help them out, one, God rewards you for that. When you lend to the poor, the Bible says, and you give to people, like God sees you helping them. And when you give expecting to receive nothing in return and you're truly just being generous and helpful, God takes note of that and appreciates that you're, you know, being loving and helping someone out when they're in a time of need, and he will bless you for that. But if you want to make sure everybody knows how great you are, and you want to make sure it's known, oh yeah, you know, I saw this guy yesterday and he was in need and I gave him, you know, $50 and a haircut to go, you know, like, and you just start telling everyone about it. Well, guess what? Now it starts to seem a little bit more like maybe you did that to buy yourself some good favor in the eyes of other people. Now, you are the only one that's going to know 100% for sure in your heart where your heart's at, right? And as I preach these things, you also want to be careful not to necessarily judge somebody prematurely, because sometimes you might see things that might look like it's pride, it might look like someone's being a hypocrite, it might look like someone that's acting like this, and they just might not really be thinking about what they're doing. Okay, so on the judging side of things, be careful of it, but I'm preaching to you for your heart, for your own sake, right, to be aware of these things so that you know and take stock in yourself. Be like, am I one of these guys that every time I do something good, I just want to tell everyone about what I'm doing? It's easy to say, oh, it's just all an encouragement, but be careful with that, you know. We all know the proverbial brown noser, right, from a classroom. that's just, oh, teacher, I want to make sure you know I did this and I did, you know, and like just the suck up, right? No one likes that person. And it turns out, God's kind of teaching against that too. You know, when we do good things and we do good works, it's not for the benefit of receiving glory and praise from anybody. It's because you're doing it to be a help, right? So here are the alms. Someone's in need. You're helping that person out. You don't need to publish it abroad. And in fact, the Bible says here that you have no reward. Verse 2 says, therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. You know what their reward is? That's it. They already got it. And look, we see this all the time with philanthropists, right? Bill Gates, Melinda Gates, and what do? They give these large sums of money, but they're never giving a large sum of money without having TVs there and the press and putting out these releases and saying, oh, we're doing this for this people and look how good and gracious we are. And when at the end of the day, they're really just doing it for a tax benefit or something, you know, like there's always some other reason anyways. Or even if it is not for taxes, but just to receive glory of men. Just because they want to see, like, oh, I don't like the way I'm viewed, so I'm going to do this to make people like me or to make people think better of me or more highly of me. And that is not the reason why you should ever be giving alms to people. It's just so you can make people think that you're a better person or something than you really are. Because that'll show your heart anyways. And the Bible says, look, you're not going to get a reward that way. But verse number 3 says, but when thou doest thine alms... When thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Verse 5, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. You notice the theme here, that they may be seen of men. That's why they do it. So they have these big prayers, and they'll be these real complicated, long, drawn out, well rehearsed prayers or whatever. But it's not because they're praying from the heart. It's not because they're genuinely sincere in like seeking the Lord and trying to have God hear them. It's because they want to sound good to the men that are standing around and hearing them pray and want to make sure that they think that, oh, look how pious he is, look at how holy he is. Making these great prayers, oh, I could never pray like that. And a lot of people think that way. And they have this extra admiration for someone because they can make all these fancy prayers and stuff. And it's like, that's not what prayer is even about. And at the end of the day, what this turns into, and how you just kind of narrow it down, is where is the focus? If the focus is on you, you're doing it for the wrong reason. The focus is on you when you give your alms, making sure everyone knows you're giving alms. It's the wrong reason. Focus on you when you're praying to God. Well, I just want to make sure everyone hears how good I pray to God. Then, wrong person. Everything that we do and all the goodness and all the righteousness we do should be for the glory of God and for the glory of his kingdom. And that's what we all strive together for. Bible says, verse 6 there, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Jump down to verse number 16, because then he goes through and he teaches them how to pray. There's just one more example here with fasting. The Bible says, moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So he's saying, look, when you're fasting, because you're seeking God, you're seeking his, you know, some prayer that you have, and you're afflicting your soul, and you're afflicting yourself through fasting, you ought to be continuing to go through your life without making sure everybody knows that you're fasting, right? And look, this is really applicable for today, especially because there's not that many people that fast for spiritual reasons anymore. Like, it's just not very common. It's not a common thing in American culture, for sure. I don't know what it's like elsewhere in the world, but here, it's not common. Now, I think it's way more common now to find people fasting for health than it is finding people fasting for a spiritual reason, for prayer to God, right? But those that are fasting for a spiritual reason, you know, the Bible's teaching you don't want to draw attention to yourself by coming and going like, oh man, you know, I'm so hungry. Like, well, I've been fasting for 2 days. Like, I'm starving. Like, man, I can't. I'm walking by this food and I'm smelling and just like talking all about your struggle and everything else. Because here's the thing, you may actually be feeling those things, right? Because you normally do when you fast. But now you're drawing all of the attention on yourself, and people are going to start thinking like, oh, wow, he's fasting, she's fasting. You know, like, that's not the point. That's not the point. You're fasting to the Lord. You're humbling yourself before God. You're seeking God. God knows what you're going through. And we ought to be strong in general anyways, I would say. Not that you can't receive, you know, accept help or things like that, but you want to be as self, like, independent and sufficient as possible, right? We don't want to be a burden unto others in general, and similar with fasting and stuff. It's just like, no, I'm good, you know? And again, you don't want to go overboard with that, where, like, you actually really do need help with something and you just know everything's fine when it's really not, and you could actually use a little bit of help. But that's another sermon for another day. What we're doing here is making sure that, hey, when we serve the Lord, especially when we serve the Lord, look at these instances that we're looking at in Matthew chapter 6. Giving alms, praying, and fasting. Those are all very spiritual things. And in all those instances, he's saying, look, you don't want to just do this to be seen of men. And we know the Pharisees are the great examples of the hypocrites that do everything to be seen of men. And on top of that, that's why they have all their special clothing and everything else, to just make sure everybody knows, oh, I'm a man of God, I'm a, you know, whatever. And you don't want to do that. And this is something, like even myself, I think to myself, I don't want to, you know, I've gone over this in my head a couple times. Just preaching the gospel at the door, or if I get into an argument with someone, you know, sometimes you get into an exchange, and someone wants to tell you why you should listen to them, and, well, my dad was a pastor, and this and that, and they're going to give you all these other reasons to believe them. But you know what I never do? I never say, well, I'm a pastor of a church, so, you know, like, because that doesn't matter. It shouldn't matter. I mean, if you're talking to someone, it's, well, is this what the Bible says or not? Right. It doesn't matter who's saying it. And it doesn't even matter. Like, I don't have to tell you how many times I've read the Bible. I don't have to tell you any of those things, because people could read the Bible every day of their life and be unsaved and have no discernment or understanding of the Bible. There's a lot of people out there like that. So, you know, those, obviously, that's just it's a bad logic, bad argument to try to be like, oh, I'm the authority on this because of whatever. No, it just stick to what the Bible says. What does the Word of God say? It says what it says. And not try to lift yourself up and puff yourself up as being somebody special, why everyone needs to listen to you over everyone anyone else. Now turn, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The Apostle Paul taught a really good lesson on glorying. And so the Bible talks about glorying. We might think of it more commonly as bragging. Okay? Very similar words. Just bragging's not used in the Bible. Glorying is. And in the second epistle of Corinthians, you know, 1st and 2nd Corinthians are interesting books just because of all the different issues that the church of Corinth had and all the correction that they needed. And that was also the church that was, like, really not respecting the, at least some people within the church were not respecting the Apostle Paul at all. And look, he was an apostle, and he did have these revelations, and he was an authority over the churches, especially the ones that he started and he planted it. You know, like, he's going back. He had an apostleship, and he had a realm of authority here, and people were just completely disregarding the Apostle Paul and everything about him. So he, in chapter 11, we're not gonna read chapter 11, but that's where he really goes into a lot of the things that he has done. and how he's been afflicted in his service to the Lord. And now he follows that up in chapter 12 in verse number 1 with this. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. Like, it's not a good thing. It's not very expedient for me to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. And then he says this, I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. Whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. So he's saying, you know, if I'm going to glory about anything, I'm going to glory about someone else. I'm going to lift up or exalt other people, not myself. He's like, you know, there was this guy that was caught up into paradise and heard all this, you know, says like, that never happened to me. Like that's great. That guy's great. He, you know, he had that experience and I'll glory over that guy. But I'm not going to glory over myself. And this is keeping that humble attitude. Even if you have been involved in great things and even if you have great accomplishments and stuff, hey, just lift up others. That's like the definition of pride is lifting up yourself. The Bible says in verse number 6, for though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. Like, I may want to glory. I may want to brag. But you know what? I'm not, because I'm not going to be a fool. Because fools are braggarts. Fools are the ones that are going to go around and tout how great they are and all these things that they did. And look, just take it to heart. Okay, even in the little things, right? We count up the salvations. You don't have to make sure the whole church knows, I got this many saved. You know, like, use discretion. Use it. We want to count. We want to get the numbers. Okay, it's good. Just like I think it's appropriate that people tithe and give the money for the church to run and function and stuff. But, I mean, I don't see anyone standing up and going, here, Pastor, look, I've got this offering right here. I got $2,000 in here. I'm putting it in the plate right now, okay? Did everyone hear that? You know, like that's ridiculous, right? And obviously, I'm way over-exaggerating. But think about that. It's the same thing when it comes to even just counting up salvations and stuff. Hey, we're going to do it because it's, you know, we pass the plate because there's you got to have some means of collection to be able to make to receive the things that ought to be received, right? People ought to be tithing. Now, do I make sure and look and be like, I don't think this person's tithing? No, it has nothing to do with me. It's between you and God. But we're making it as easy as possible for you to follow the commandment to tithe, which, yes, I do believe it's a commandment. A whole another sermon for another day. You can talk to me about that later if you want or watch another sermon. I preach about that. But we're going to facilitate that. Similarly, we facilitate things like, hey, let's keep our records going and the salvations. Yeah, let's do so in a way that's appropriate, shows discretion. Okay, yeah, okay, cool, you got this. Done, right? And not one of just making sure everyone knows that that you got led this many people to Christ. I mean, that's when it starts to step over the line of just being not appropriate. So he's saying here, in verse 6, though I would desire to glory, I should not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be or that he heareth of me. And he's like, look, I don't want anyone to have a wrong impression of me either and start to elevate me above what's appropriate as well. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And we read this story last week when we talked about getting, you know, prayers answered or unanswered prayers. But now in the context, we're seeing that, you know, he did receive a lot of revelations. And he knows that. He's well aware of him receiving the word of God and delivering it to churches. Like, he knows it's the word of God. But he also is understanding that the thorn in the flesh that he received is so that he wouldn't be lifted up and gloried too much and exalted too high. And he realizes and says, hey, this is a good thing. Well, at the end of the day, it's a good thing, right? For this thing, I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. Obviously, it wasn't pleasant. It's not something he physically wanted to have. But when he receives the answer of the Lord, verse 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So he's like, as far as I'm going to go with glorying is just like all the stuff I've been through, right? All the battle scars, all the hardships that, I've done this and this and this. And it's his own weakness. It's not anything about his own abilities, like, well, I'm this great orator and I'm this great soul winner. And, he's just like, no, I've been, like, shipwrecked and I've been, with all these other problems. And even that, though, as he said at the beginning of chapter 12, he's like, you guys are provoking me to do this. Like, I don't even want to do this. It's not expedient for me to glory. But if there's anything I'm going to glory about, it's going to be in my own weaknesses. Why? Because if you demonstrate your weakness and you still are getting things done, that just shows the power and might of God. Because it truly is the power of God, not yourself. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I am become a fool in glorying. You have compelled me. For I ought to have been commended of you. For in nothing am I behind the very cheapest apostles, though I be nothing. He's like, I'm not anything, but you guys are provoking me into this by just, basically trash talking on the Apostle Paul and making him out to just be of like no consequence whatsoever when he's actually delivering the word of God and they ought to be treating it as such. Not because Paul is so special. He's like, I'm nothing, but I'm on the same level as all the other apostles. Go backwards to chapter 10 in 2 Corinthians. Because he prefaced, of course, chapters 11 and 12 with chapter 10. And chapter 11 is where he talks about how often he's been shipwrecked and how often he's been beaten and stoned and all the other things that happened to him. In verse number 12 in 2 Corinthians 10, the Bible reads, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. What does it mean to commend? Anyone know what a commendation is? So if you receive a commendation, it's like a reward, right? Or an award, a recognition, right? A commendation of whatever. So people are recognizing you and praising you and lifting you up and saying, hey, this person did this and here's a commendation. So just like when the Bible says, but God commendeth his love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's not just many people say, well, see, God, that's how God made his love known unto us. No, it's more than that. It's a commending of his love. He commended his love is exalted that much more for us because it's not that he just loved people who were righteous or good. He loved us while we were yet sinners. So it's a commendation of his love. It exalts that love so much higher because we are really undeserving of the love being sinners against him. Not even just against someone else, but like literally against God. And he overcomes that with love. That's a commendation of his love. Does that make sense? So here, he's talking about them that commend themselves. He's talking about people that are lifting themselves up and being so, high-minded of themselves and what they do. And he's saying, look, we don't make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. These guys that are bragging, I'm not going to go and compare myself to them, even though they're fools. Oh, I read the Bible this much, and I memorize this much, and I pray this much, and I go out. So, like bragging about what they're doing doesn't matter. I'm not even going to get involved in that whatsoever. Even if in every category I exceeded them, I'm not going to get involved with that. There's no, it's foolishness. Because now you're getting in this glorying match, this bragging match. That's not profitable at all. He says, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. So as we grow, as we're seeing things done, and as we're counting numbers, and as we're doing things, and we've got different groups going out, look, if one group is seeing more salvations, the Monday group or the Saturday group or whatever, Sunday group, you don't compare yourself to those other groups. Amen. Why? What's the point? Oh, we want to get more than they're, you know, it's kind of like, don't be all comparing yourselves. Just serve the Lord. Amen. Preach the gospel. Don't get caught up in all of the, oh, I'm going neck and neck for the most salvations and all this other stuff. Like, look, I like healthy competition, but at the end of the day, you know, just make sure you're doing these things for the right reasons. Care about the soul more than the number. The numbers represent the soul, but make sure you don't get that backwards. I really want to report a salvation back, so then you end up praying with someone that, like, maybe didn't quite get it. No. Nobody wants that. We don't want to count salvations that might not even be a salvation because we care about the soul. Care about that person getting saved, and then if they get saved, okay, we'll report that. Don't get things backwards. Let's keep reading here in chapter 10, verse number 13. But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reached you not. For we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. Now, that word rules come up a couple times because Apostle Paul has authority. And they're not respecting that authority. And he's asserting that and also demonstrating, too, that, like, you know, they're not glorying above their measure, like outside of the bounds, because they were directly involved in the work. Like, we came to you with the gospel. This church started because of us. You know, like they're glorying over whatever they're glorying about within their church. It's like, you were started by the evangelistic efforts of these other people that came to you and brought the gospel to you, and now all of a sudden you're going to have this braggart attitude about how great you are and how you don't need to listen to what the Apostle Paul is teaching. That's the attitude he's dealing with. And it's that when you start glorying, you lift yourself up, and when you lift yourself up, it often goes hand in hand with rebellion. Because you're starting to think that you know better than everyone else, and I don't have to listen to anyone, and you see that rebellion come up throughout Scripture as well. It's one of those things that happens with leadership, and you got a bunch of people together, and sometimes you get those that want to just do their own thing and go their own way. And I'll tell you what, you know, some churches will put up with that, but I won't either. And as much as I encourage all the soul winning, and I want there to be as much soul winning and stuff, at the end of the day, I still direct the way things are going to be done in this church. I have the rule and the authority to administer and make sure things are being done the way that I think they should be done. And you might disagree with that from time to time. You might disagree with that every time, but you have to at least respect the position that I am put in the church to make those decisions and to run things the way they're going to run. Amen. And it's going to be from the smallest things to the greatest things. It could be as small as, which I don't like doing this, and I think most of you know that, I don't want to micromanage every little detail, but if I were to say, like, you know what? We need to have the garbage cans this certain way or something. I mean, the trash. That would still fall in the realm of, hey, this is the operation and how the church is running, so it's just going to be done that way. Right. Well, I don't think it should be done that way. And I think, you know, it's like, look, it doesn't matter. Yeah. And obviously, that's silly. And I don't have some rule about the trash or something. I never want to. Okay, it's good to have some flexibility and freedom and whatever. Like, great. Okay. but also when it comes to other decision-making, whether it's people in leadership, whether it's people in various ministries, and I talk about ministries just broadly speaking, anyone serving in any capacity in a church, in any way, like any type of service, okay? Now, you may not like the way I do it, but you have to also just understand this, that I am responsible for everything. So just as husbands are responsible for their families, and your kids or even your wife might not like some of the rules that you want to put in place in your home, and they disagree with you and might not like it, you do it because you're responsible for your family. Well, I have the responsibility over church. At the end of the day, when things don't run right, if things fail, look, it's going to fall on me. So with me having that responsibility, I don't want to have failure at all. Now, this doesn't mean failure is not going to happen, but I'm a very careful person when it comes to what we're going to do, how we're going to grow, how we're going to move forward, and people who are going to be put in different positions. And I just need to make sure things are done decently and in order, right? And it is what it is, and sometimes people get offended, and sometimes they don't, and whatever. But I want to make sure that we're all unified with the same purpose in mind, right? Because at the end of the day, it's not about us. It's not about our glory. It's not about our names in lights, right? It's not about any of that. It's not about you. The Bible says this here, and I'm going to keep reading here. What verse did we leave off on in chapter 10 there? Verse 14, I think we read. No, even beyond that, right? Because I was talking about the rule that he had. Verse 16, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you and not to boast another man's line of things made ready to our hand. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. You want to glory about something? Glory in God. Brag on the Lord, not on yourself. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. People who want to lift themselves up and talk great about themselves means nothing. It means nothing. And there's plenty of people out there that do that in general that want to talk about how great they are. Oh, I'm so great. I can't do that. I can't do the impression. We got someone running for president right now that loves to talk about how great he is. But seriously, like, that doesn't mean anything. You talk about how great you are, that means nothing. You know what means something is when other people talk about how great you are. You know what means the most is when God exalts you or God commends you or God lifts you up. Like, that's what matters the most. You can't take that on yourself. The Bible says in Galatians 5, you don't have to turn there. Turn if you would to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Galatians 5:25 says this, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory. Vain glory. It's meaningless. It's empty. You don't need the glory, provoking one another, envying one another, right? It doesn't matter who's getting the attention or who's getting the spotlight and who's getting the glory. It doesn't matter. And let's not be desirous of that either. Psalm 75, verse 4, the Bible says, I said unto the fools, deal not foolishly, and to the wicked, lift not up the horn. Lift not up your horn on high, speak not with a stiff neck, for promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. There's only one direction left, the north, right? That's where promotion comes from. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. Just trust in the Lord. If you feel like you're not recognized for things or whatever, stay humble. God exalts in due time. And understand this too. You know, if you're really anxious to receive credit, you're probably going to have to stay humble even longer. Because you might not have learned the lesson yet. God exalts, and God, as recently we've been preaching through other things, it's his timeline. It's not ours. You know, we might think we're ready for stuff, or we might think we deserve this, or we might think whatever, but you know what? God might be testing you, or God might be teaching you, God might be trying you for whatever reason, and just, nope, you're going to be here in this position. And we ought to have that attitude of, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. We're going to strive to do the most we can do and work the hardest we can, but wherever we're at, I'm gonna let God be the one ultimately to exalt me if he sees me fit to be exalted. And if that never happens in my lifetime, so be it. So be it. It's not going to change how much I serve the Lord. God is good. I'm going to serve him no matter what. Hebrews chapter 5, look at verse number 1. The Bible reads this, "For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins, who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof, he ought, as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sins." Look at verse 4, though. This is where I really want to focus on. "And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron." So this, in the context, he's talking about the priest and the high priest, and he's saying, you know what? No one's able to just take that honor on themselves. And that's true of any honor. Honor is bestowed from someone else. It is not taken and just claimed on your own. This is one of the big reasons why I believe that, you know, a pastor ought to be ordained and selected and chosen of others, of someone else, and not just self-promoted and saying, hey, I meet the qualifications of a pastor, so I'm going to pastor this church, or I'm going to start this church, and just go off and do your own thing. You don't take that honor on yourself. Aaron didn't take that honor on himself. It was given to him of God. And then people say, oh, but the Holy Ghost told me that, you know. No, he didn't. Okay, sorry. Try again. And if that's your answer, then you might just, like, as well go start a cult. No man taketh this honor on himself, but he has called of God, so as was Aaron. Look at this in verse 5. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest. Now, is Christ a high priest? Amen. High priest after the order of Melchizedek, right? King of kings, Lord of lords. But you know what he didn't do? He didn't self-exalt. Now, if anyone had the ability or would have been reasonable to say, you can self-exalt, it would be God incarnate, right? That's who, if anyone would do it. But he didn't do it. The Father exalts the Son. He didn't take that honor even on himself. It was bestowed upon him. That's how that honor works. You can't take that for yourself. Let it be. Let it run its course. In due time, God lifts up and God brings down. Last place we're going to look at, Matthew chapter 10. Actually, no, you don't even have to turn there. I'm just going to say this right off the bat, before we even go, if you could turn to Matthew 10 if you want to, whatever. Who here thinks you can name all 12 apostles? Original 12 apostles. Brother Micah, you got Matthew 10 memorized? Now, I'm not going to make you do it. I want you thinking about that. It's a rhetorical question. I want you just thinking, can you name all 12 of the apostles? I mean, you might be able to get most of them. I'm just wondering how many people can just do all 12. Think about that for yourself. But think about this. Those were 12 apostles chosen by Jesus Christ and served with him and served after him and did who knows how much great work in their lives. Now, we know of Peter and James and John and Andrew. Common names, right? We know the people who have been in the spotlight and received some glory in the scriptures to some extent or another, right? Just because they're included in these stories and their names show up as doing these things and being involved in some really cool things with Jesus. But some of them, you only hear about them when their name is listed as being one of the 12 apostles. I bring that up for this purpose. Do you really think that they were just not that great of Christians as one of the apostles of Christ? Because I don't. I understand that in great ministries and churches and in everything else, you need a lot of people doing a lot of work, and not everyone is going to have the spotlight or the attention, but the work is still extremely necessary and important. The work of the 12 apostles was very necessary, very important. they didn't all get a center stage or attention, but they were all doing the work. We won't know until the judgment seat of Christ. I mean, I could almost guarantee this, right? Like, there's going to be some people, because obviously there's a lot of people who've lived over time anyways, and you're just going to be like, but even in your own lifetime, you'll be like, wait, that person, like, got more than me? They're quiet. They did their work. You never heard them talking about all the things that they do. They kept their nose down, just did the work, stayed faithful, and were consistent, and just boom, 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 boom. I bet there's going to be people like that who are just going to be like, wow. And see, you know what? God knew what they did. And obviously other people have to be impacted by the work that they're doing because they're reaching people with the gospel, they might be helping people, whatever, but they're not sounding the trumpet. They're not making sure everybody knows and everybody on social media knows. And hey, look at this great sermon I preached, everyone. Hey, look at how many people I got saved. Hey, look at I did this and I did that and I did that. And I want everyone to know that I'm doing this. Make sure you know it's me. You have your reward. Remember that. It's not about you. About the work. And as I mentioned at the very beginning of the sermon, I think this spirit is right and prevalent in this church, and I think that's why things are going so well. I really honestly do, and I want to see that continue. Because we're headed to do some, I think, really good works. But only through the power of God. It's not because I am so great or you're so great. It's because God can use people who are going to yield themselves to his authority and to his calling and his purpose, whatever that may be for you specifically. And I'm just going to do it, and we're going to move forward. We're going to all move together with the same goal in mind. We're going to reach people at the lost. We're going to study and love the word of God and change our lives to be in conformity to the image of his son, and we'll let God do the rest. But we're yielding ourselves here and offering ourselves up as a living sacrifice. And that's how great things are going to get done. But with the self-exaltation comes pride, and with pride comes rebellion, and then we're going to start having more and more problems. So it serves everyone well. Just stay humble. Let things continue to go forward. Look, we got a bigger group of people we have. We might have some more little problems here and there with people's personalities and other things like that. It's a big family, all right? Not everyone's going to necessarily always get along all the time, but if we maintain the right humble spirit and the right humble attitude and be able to serve, even if it's serve anonymously, then just do it, right? Serve without murmuring, serve without complaining, and keep the right heart. And God will promote and God will exalt, and we'll trust in him. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this church. God, thank you for bringing together this group of people. I do wholeheartedly believe that everyone that's here just is truly interested in serving you, dear God, and I pray that that's the case. And Lord, I pray that you would help instruct us and guide us and help us overcome our flesh and not to get caught up in desiring any vain glory, but that we could just serve you and that your name is exalted and not ours, Lord, because that's what we care about. We want the name of Jesus to be known in this area and the salvation that comes through his name alone, dear Lord. And help us in that endeavor. And God, we love you. Bless our church and bless the soul in this afternoon. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to sing one last song before we're dismissed. Brother Peter, will you please lead us?
All right, church, if you can open up your hymnals to Psalm number 402. Psalm 402, our best. Song 402. dismissed. Quick announcement for those that are going to be cooking for the camping trip. We're having a quick meeting right now. So meet me over here by the piano. You're dismissed.